The Australian Space Research Institute was formed with a merger of the Australian Space Engineering Research Association and the OSROC Projects Group now about 4 years ago. We really wanted an organisation in Australia because at the time there wasn't much happening in the way of space education, and there was a whole group of engineers, young engineers primarily, in Australia that wanted to be a part, that wanted to be a part of a space program in this country. So that was the emphasis for forming ASRI, was to create an organisation that could provide education, training and skills development to Australian scientists, engineers and others. With ASRI, our aims are to develop and advance space technology and science in Australia, to conduct, encourage and promote space-related research and development, to provide educational project opportunities to students, and to conduct, coordinate and support projects for the above goals. ASRI is divided into four main program areas. We have the OSROC program of launch vehicles. We have the Australis Microsat program, which includes the AMSAT North America project, which QUT students are working on at the moment. We have the CITER rocket program using Zuni rockets over there and CITER rockets here. And we have a scramjet development program in conjunction with Queensland University. The goal of the scramjet one is to actually flight test scramjet models and prototypes, engines, that have been developed by the university researchers. The OSROC program, there are four stages in the OSROC program. We've completed stages one and two. OSROC 3 is now the primary project of the OSROC program. OSROC 1 was primarily an experimental vehicle, first vehicle liquid-fueled rocket built in Australia. OSROC 2 was an order of magnitude more complicated. OSROC 3, similarly, is basically an order of magnitude more complicated than OSROC 2. And OSROC 4, our ultimate goal with the OSROC program, is to put a microsatellite into orbit from Woomera. The OSROC 1 program commenced in 1988 at Monash University. A group of students, along with some keen volunteers from the Space Association of Australia, got together and built OSROC 1 along guidelines of the Pacific Rocket Society's rocket, which was launched in California in about 1987. It was basically only 100 millimetres in diameter, 2.6 metres long, had a thrust of 1,200 newtons and burnt for 7 seconds. The vehicle took off successfully, went into cloud. We launched from Pukapunyal, which is renowned for being very windy and very cloudy, and we had both on that day. The recovery system wasn't successful. We lost the telemetry from the vehicle at about 3.5 kilometres altitude, where it was clocked at about 580 kilometres per hour. We believe that the forward section of the rocket got ripped off from the dynamic pressure, and then we found neither the nose nor the tail, despite numerous range searches. Just a basic rundown of OSROC 1 / Caratel. It's a concentric tank arrangement where we have one aluminium tube inside another. The inner tank holds the nitric acid, and the space, the cavity between the two tubes, holds the furfural alcohol. We have a pyrotechnic valve block, an injector, and an ablative engine. The engine's basically a stainless steel tube with ablative materials inside and a graphite throat. Above that we have the pressurisation cap block. We have a parachute recovery system, some electronics, and in the case of Caratel, there's a pitot tube which doubles as the antenna. With OSROC 1, we only had a pure antenna coming out the top end. The success we had with OSROC 1, we decided to continue. We came up with a concept for OSROC 2, and this, myself and two other engineering students at Monash University, started the OSROC 2 program. The project obviously went past 1 year of a student project, and it took about, I think it's 3 years from start to end, to actually get OSROC 2, the first one, out to the pad at Woomera in 1992. This rocket's much bigger. It's 6.2 metres in length, 250 millimetres in diameter, fueled by liquid oxygen and kerosene. This is our first vehicle we started playing around with liquid oxygen, which is a cryogenic fluid. The thrust, obviously, an order of magnitude higher at just over a tonne, a burn time of about 18 seconds. guidance. It was only fin stabilised. We Osroc 3 is actually the first that we're developing with an active guidance system. The mass, fueled mass, is about 225 kilograms. The star there is, as you, most people know, that vehicle exploded on the pad out at Woomera due to some problems with the plumbing, particularly check valves and a LOX valve. They say that you're generally not inducted into the Hall of Rocketry until you've had your first major explosion. We've had that, so we're playing up there now with the big boys. We can blow up a rocket just as good as them. 2-2 is essentially an improved Osroc 2. The length's slight amount shorter. Its diameter is a bit smaller because we actually used extruded tubing, which we found after we already built Osroc 2. Similarly, it used exactly the same engine. The burn time was reduced a bit to bring the acceleration up. We had slightly shorter tanks, less propellant, and so the launch weight there, 220 kilograms. It was successfully launched. After Osroc 2, in fact, before we'd even finished Osroc 2, we were looking at the ultimate goal of what we want to do with the Osroc program, and the ultimate goal is to build a micro-satellite launch vehicle. But we weren't game enough to go there in one step. We needed an intermediate vehicle whereby we could test all the technologies that we need on an orbital vehicle, and that's where Osroc 3 comes in. Osroc 3 uses composite tanks, carbon fibre composite fairings, a regen steerable engine, inertial navigation and guidance. So it's basically unfinned, so it's a completely unstable vehicle. Obviously requiring guidance to keep it going in a straight line. So it's an order of magnitude more complicated than Osroc 2. But we needed to do this to test out all the technologies for an orbital vehicle which we wanted to build. It also serves as the core module for Osroc 4, whereby we just cluster these Osroc 3 modules around an Osroc... we cluster four of these modules around a central core, so we have five Osroc 3 modules making up an Osroc 4. The primary mission of Osroc 3 is to provide educational and skills development opportunities to Australian scientists and engineers. The secondary mission is to carry a useful scientific payload of 100 kilograms, that's actually 150 when you include the module and the recovery system, to an altitude of 500 kilometres on a predetermined and controlled suborbital trajectory and recover it intact, the intact being the hard bit. Osroc 3 will be 9 metres long. No point, it's that big. Once again, it will use liquid oxygen and kerosene. The engine will produce about 3.5 tonnes thrust at sea level and about 4.2 tonnes thrust in a vacuum. The burn time is 80 seconds, which means the vehicle is thrusting from sea level right up to about 80 kilometres, which is pretty much a vacuum. The guidance will be by a gimbaled engine, where we steer it in pitch and yaw, and in cold gas thrusters for roll control. The flight profile for Osroc 3, it'll be launched off a vertical stand. There'll be a tower that you can service the rocket by. Both Osrocs 1 and 2 were launched off rails because they're only fin stabilised and we have to make them launch quickly, high accelerations, to get up aerodynamic stability. With Osroc 3, because it's guided, we can take off much slower, which means we can have a much higher propellant loading and go a lot higher. So the rocket will take off, burn for 80 seconds, at which point the payload module, the rocket... This bit's undecided yet as to whether we actually eject the nose cone or not, but that's a later issue. Definitely separate the payload module, which coasts up to 500 kilometres, and in that coasting period, there's about 6 minutes of microgravity time for you doing the microgravity experiments, and at altitude for doing any form of remote sensing, image taking of the Earth. It will then come back down, re-enter, deploy through a series of drogue parachutes, out to a 9-cell ram air canopy, which is controlled by the onboard GPS, to glide itself back to a known point on the ground.